as a mother, God has just been there for me every step of the way. And he's given me his word to rely on, Christian husband to support me. And God has taught me the depth of his love for me through the depth of the love that I have for my son.
Well, I think one of the best things about being a mom is just the intense feeling of love that you have. When I became a mother, I had no idea the intense feelings that come along with that job. And, you know, it's not only the love that you feel that's indescribable, but when their life is going great, the joy that you feel for them, and when their hearts are broken, the sadness you feel. And all that is, it's a blessing, even if it's a sadness, you know, it's just indescribable the feelings that you have for your kids.
When I answer my phone and I hear the word mom, I always smile. Of all the blessings God gives me, the one at the very top of the list is being mom to two beautiful Christian men. It is so much fun because at each stage as I raised the boys, I thought that was my favorite, but really it wasn't. They were good, but this one is my favorite. The adult relationship with Christian men, Christian fathers and Christian husbands. But an added blessing that I have is having the love of great daughters-in-law, and that is super. And I get to watch my grandchildren being raised in a Christian home. What a delight. I am blessed above all.
Blessings to being called mom. But I think one that's very special to me is the fact that I have someone to transfer and hopefully he'll improve upon my faith and belief in God.
Being a mom, through all that you go through with your children and the love that you feel for them, it has taught me and made me more aware of the love that God has for us, because I know how much I love my children, and I know that His love for me, God's love for me, is even more intense than my love for my child. And so that has given me great comfort, knowing that He is there, He's made promises to us, and He is faithful, and He will keep them.
Hey, let's express our appreciation to Barbara and Rachel and Dinah for kind of sharing their hearts and their perspectives in that video. Yeah, very nice. Very nice. Very, very well done. Good morning, everybody. Glad to see you today. Happy Mother's Day. And moms, we really do. We very much appreciate and salute the ministry of motherhood and all the various and complex responsibilities involved in that assignment. And remember, from God's view, there are no small assignments. From God's view, there are no small places. There are no little people. When God gives you an assignment, it may be to one person in a little small town like Nazareth. But it's huge in God's eyes. Well, I've got just three, four, five sort of random thoughts today on Mother's Day. Let me just sort of put them out here. And here's the very first thing I'd like to say, and that is that all of us, every single person in the room, all of us have influence. But a mother's influence, it's incredibly powerful. It's especially powerful. Do you remember several weeks ago in this message series from the book of James, the very first message, I talked about endurance. And we showed a video that day that interviewed Michael Biasini. Michael has had, I think, 29 surgeries since he was born in 1963. He had, let me get my number here correctly. He, by the time he was in the third grade, he had 16 operations. He was born with multiple physical deformities. As he was growing up, kids just made fun of him. They called him all sorts of names. He told us some of those names in that video. But Michael Biasini has an incredible spirit and an incredible ministry to this day. He was recently named one of Fort Bend County's Volunteers of the Year. His story, he's been featured in, some of the Chicken Soup for the Soul books. An incredible person. But he says that he gives so much credit to his late mother for instilling into him a sense of worth and a spirit of determination to never give up. And he said when other kids would make fun of him, his mom always told him, said, "Sweetheart, you feel sorry for them. They've not been taught well. You be the bigger person." All of us have incredible influence, but a mother's influence is huge, huge. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 these words, in talking about influence. He said, "You're the salt of the earth." In other words, everywhere you go, you flavor. You flavor a conversation. If you're in the room, you're going to flavor it negatively or positively. You're the salt of the earth. And that kind of flavor cannot be minimized. And then he says in verse 14, "And you're the light of the world." And a city on a hill, and obviously that city is going to have lights to it. It cannot be hidden. "Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand." Verse 16, "In the same way, let your light, let your influence shine before men, that they'll see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." You know, a lot of folks get to the end of their life and they want to make sure that they've left a mark. Some of you are so afraid that when you die, people won't remember you. Listen very carefully. Living your life so people will remember you on a grand scale is too small a goal. It's not worth giving your life to trying to go through this world and, quote, make your mark in the world. That is way too small a goal. But here is a goal that's worthy of your life. To surrender yourself to God, to come under the authority of Jesus Christ, and say, "Jesus, it's not about me. To the contrary, I simply want to allow my life to be used by you to mark one person after another with your grace and your goodness and your truth." Now, that's huge. And everybody here has influence. We all leave a mark, positively or negatively, either about us or about Jesus. And Jesus says, "Allow your life to point to me." Now, the second thing I'd like to say, sort of random comment, but this is connected. the comment, "Big Mama," that is a woman who wields a sizable and life-shaping influence. I just got back in town late Friday night. I've been out of town this week, and I went to see my mom. My mom is 88 years old. We had a birthday party for her this past Tuesday. And she was so excited about it. In fact, she, my mom has some memory issues, so she got excited about it several times over. I'd say, "Hey, we're having a party tonight." "Really? We're having a party?" "Yeah. What's the party?" "It's all about you. You're turning 88. "I'm 88. I don't feel 88. "Well, you are. We're having a party tonight." "We're having a party tonight?" "Yeah. We're having a party tonight. It's all about you. You're turning 88. "I'm turning 88. "Yeah. I don't feel 88. "Okay, here we go." But we had a wonderful visit, and she is, she's in a nursing home, but she is doing very, very well, getting great care, wonderful care. She's happy and in a good frame. But my mom is a big mama, not because of any sort of physical stature. If you were to see her, she's not physically imposing at all. but her fingerprints are huge, huge. Her influence and the people that's in her sphere, powerful and deep. My wife's fingerprints and imprints are all over our family, and my kids would tell you she has had a huge life-shaping influence in our lives. So that's a big mama, a woman who wields sizable and life-shaping influence. Proverbs 31 says it like this: she watches over the affairs of her household. She doesn't eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting. A woman who fears the Lord, she's to be praised. In other words, a truly big mama who wields that large, huge, godly, life-shaping influence, they don't grow on trees. And your life has been touched and blessed by a woman of God. You can't praise her enough, says the scriptures. Next thing I'd like to say is that big mamas sometimes carry a heavier load than they should. It's interesting that the Apostle Paul's son in the faith was named Timothy. We know a little bit about Timothy's mother and grandmother, and we know that they spiritually shaped him. We know really nothing about his father, and it may simply be that his father's deceased. But I find it interesting that he, you know, you can have a deceased father who still spiritually impacts you in a good way. But when the Apostle Paul is talking about Timothy's spiritual life, he mentions his mother, he mentions his grandmother, but father is conspicuously absent. 2 Timothy 1, I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. Here's my point. Sometimes as a mom, you have to carry a load that's a little heavier than what you'd like. Some of you in this room today are spiritually single. You don't get much spiritual encouragement or support or partnership from your husband. And if you have a son or sons, the lack of a spiritually enthusiastic role model wears on you. But take heart. God worked through Eunice, and he's working through you as well. Next thing I'd like to underscore is that sometimes the older you get, the more you realize all the sacrifices your mom, your big mama made to point you in an honorable direction. What was it Proverbs 31 said a moment ago? Her children arise and call her blessed. What does that mean? That means sometimes, I think the words I have said more to my mom over the last several years have been these: thank you, and I'm sorry. I had to get older and look back and realize, so that's what she did. That's what they did to make it possible for me to go to college there. Okay. So, Mom, sometimes right now you're in the, I'm an empty nester. I'm a grandfather. I can look back and say that in the broad panoramic sweep of parenthood, it goes by quickly, but day by day, it can really drag on. And it can be wearisome. And when you are in that stage where the responsibilities are strong, there is coming a day when your children will rise up if they have a degree of wisdom about them, and they will say to you, thank you, thank you, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry I didn't sense at the time, but now as I get older, I look back and thank you for the incredible way that you shaped my life. Last thing I want to say is this. A big mama never knows when her most profound influences will occur. And that's true for all of us. You never really know when your most profound influences will occur. Abraham Lincoln goes to Gettysburg battlefield. to give the Gettysburg Address. He didn't know he was giving the Gettysburg Address that day. All he knew was, I'm on the program. I'm not even the main speaker. I'm speaker number two. The other guy's speaking for more than an hour. I'm going to give a little less than 10-minute talk or so. He didn't know he was giving the speech that all fourth and fifth graders are going to memorize for years to follow. When Martin Luther King gave his I Have a Dream speech, he didn't know he was giving the defining speech of his work. You never really know. You have to sort of look back, and when it's all said and done, you look back and you see moments. In the moment, you don't realize it, but some of your most profound influences occur when you're just completely unaware. I vividly remember being a young man, and our next door neighbor, Mr. Moser, who was an avid fisherman and just a great, great neighbor, and we loved them so much. I remember the phone ringing, and I still remember my mom's words. I don't know how old I was at the time. 7? 8? She said, "Oh, honey, I am so sorry, but the Lord will give you strength and see you through." And as a kid, it's dawning on me that there is a God. I'm not just going to church about, you know, this is not, you know, some people are what I call cultural churchgoers, but they're not really people of faith. As a young man, it is dawning on me, there is a God. He is alive. He is at work. He cares. He meets us. I can remember as a young man, my mom and dad, but my mom sitting at her desk talking to me about the power of greed. That greed will wear you out. And here's how you break the power of greed. You give to God first. And you live within your means. If you don't do that, greed will put its claws in you and wear you out. As a young, now, when they had those conversations with me when I'm 10, 12, 14, whatever, they didn't realize at the time they were giving me their Gettysburg Address, their I Have a Dream speech. But there were certain things that were said, certain things that were repeated, certain mantras that were repeated. And at the moment, they didn't sense what an impact it's having. You have to sort of look back on it. But every child's walking around with that video camera, watching and listening and recording and saying, "Hey, verify to me that what I'm hearing is really true." And moms, dads, I want to encourage you with that, because one of the most significant ways you leave an imprint, and this is wonderful, it's in ways in which you don't even realize it, but just the goodness of your character and the naturalness of your faith and the ordinary words and perspectives that you share, that's huge. And your love for Jesus comes through in ways that you really can't even program. All right. Now, some of you are here today and you're going to say, "You know, really, Ronnie, I'm a pretty ordinary guy or an ordinary lady, and I don't have strong influence. I'm just sort of muddling through life, and I don't really need to be all that aware of my influence. I don't impact that many people." I beg to differ with you. The people that you impact the most are the ones closest to you. And God's given you your one and only life. And in that one and only life, He says, "I want to optimize your years and optimize your influence. And I'm going to help you to leave your imprint in the people who are closest to you." Moms, thank you very much for the kind of huge fingerprints you leave on your families. You make a difference. You shape us for good. And from God's perspective, remember, there are no little assignments. There are no little places. And there are no little people. Now, would you please take out your order of worship and your communication card and take some time, please, to fill that out, your name and contact information. If you would like to speak with someone in our church about membership or about baptism, please indicate so on that communication card. If you have a particular prayer request that you would like to submit, our church leaders would be honored to pray over you this week and partner with you with that particular prayer request. So take a moment, fill that out, and they'll be collected following our prayer. I'm going to lead us in prayer, and we'll collect those cards, and then we'll conclude with a song, okay? Let's bow and pray together, please. Father God, we ask that you pour your love, your mercy, your kindness on every family, and it's our prayer that if there is any particular point of brokenness, that they will sense healing from you. We ask that you will release righteousness and restrain the presence of evil in every family. We ask that you would stand against every kind of abuse, unbelief, alcoholism, neglect, rebellion, greed, miscommunication, anger, or anything that brings harm or fear or danger to a family. Lord, help each of us to appreciate and value the people in our lives. Give us words and acts of kindness at the right times to demonstrate your love. And specifically today, do we honor and give thanksgiving for faithful moms? We can never say thank you enough, and most moms probably carry around the fair amount of self-inflicted guilt because they expect so much from themselves. But give them a sense of joy and a sense that you're meeting them and working with them and working through them to make a difference. Lord, again, cover us with a blanket of your grace and mercy this week. We ask all of this in Christ's name. Amen.